precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Did you know that when a believer dies, God says that is precious? Not only is your life precious to God, your death is precious to God. Not only is your life precious to him when you're doing something with it, but when you are an invalid and you can't do anything and you feel helpless and worthless and yet you're making no contribution to the world and all you can do is lay in bed, God says, you're still precious to me.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick enters the home stretch of our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick has been showing us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When a Friend is Dying.
Contrary to TV, Lifetime TV movies, and Hallmark shows, there are very few Hallmark moments when people die. People don't sit up in bed and go, and I love you. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. I have been around so many people when they die. Very few make great statements. It's pretty rare. You know, my dad made one, but most people, they don't say anything profound. It's just, their body slows down and their heart slows down and their breathing slows down and they stop and that's it. And it's not something that you need to be afraid of. As I said, there aren't any of these Hallmark moments like you see on TV. The biggest mistake you can make with somebody who's dying is simply not be there. Not be there. That takes us to the next letter, O, which is the first thing you need to do, and that is I need to offer my physical presence. It is the greatest gift that you can give to someone who is dying. Offer my physical presence. That means you show up. You are there. You are with them. You stay close. You stay near. And you are with them when they are dying. That's what, you see, the two biggest fears that people have when they're dying are, number one, the fear of abandonment, and number two, the fear of dying alone. You don't want to die alone. You want somebody there when you're dying. You don't want to be abandoned and left alone to die by yourself. No one should ever be left alone to die. No one should ever have to die on their own. It just means you just show up. You're there with them. You're not saying anything profound. You may not even be talking to them. But what it means is you get in the same room with them just to be with them. Instead of reading the magazine out in the living room, you sit in the bedroom with them and read the magazine in there. Instead of watching TV in the den, you sit in their room with them and you watch TV with them there. Or you knit, or you talk, or you sleep, or you work on your computer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're simply in the room. That's the big deal. That's the greatest gift you can give to somebody who's dying, just to be with them. You don't have to be talking to them all the time. They don't want to talk. But just be present with them. This is the problem David had in his dying. Notice this verse on the screen, Psalm 142. I looked for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit about what happens to me. That is the epitaph of millions of elderly people right now who are in rest homes and assisted living and nursing homes and all these things. And they say, nobody cares about me. Nobody pays attention to me. I could die over here in the corner and nobody'd even notice. Everybody needs the physical presence. Now, let me just get you really practical. One of the things that you can do to show physical presence, one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody who's dying is touch them. Touch them. You write that down. Touch them. And it, touch says physical, I'm here with you. It is not an accident that when a baby is crying, you pick it up and touch it. You pick up the baby and you draw it close to you and you hold it tight. And it is in that physical connection that the baby calms down. Our skin was made by God to be touched. Your skin was made to be touched. Now, when a person's in bed and they're dying, and what do you touch? I mean, a lot of people don't like to be touched on the face. I mean, it's a matter of personal preference. You can squeeze their hand. Let me just give you a little thing that I do. Touch their elbow. Elbow is a nice, non-sexual place to touch. Okay? And what you do is you can grab one hand, grab their hand with one hand, and put your hand under their elbow at the same time. And that says, I'm not just kind of hanging on. I'm here. I'm here for you. And there is a physical presence of using both of your hands to hold a hand and put your hand on their forearm or their elbow and just hold them like that while they're in bed. And you watch the stress go down. You can do this. And then you say to them, I am here and I will be with you. And I'm not going anywhere and you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here with you for the duration. That is a great gift of love.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. There are only 48 hours left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
Our skin was made by God to be touched. Your skin was made to be touched. Now, when a person's in bed and they're dying, and what do you touch? I mean, a lot of people don't like to be touched on the face. I mean, it's a matter of personal preference. You can squeeze their hand. Let me just give you a little thing that I do. Touch their elbow. Elbow is a nice, non-sexual place to touch. Okay, and what you do is you can grab one hand, grab their hand with one hand, and put your hand under their elbow at the same time. And that says, I'm not just kind of hanging on. I'm here. I'm here for you. And there is a physical presence of using both of your hands to hold a hand and put your hand on their forearm or their elbow and just hold them like that while they're in bed. And you watch the stress go down. You can do this. And then you say to them, I am here. And I will be with you. And I'm not going anywhere. And you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here with you for the duration. And that is a great gift of love. And if you have to leave the room, phone call, bathroom, or whatever, you say, I will be right back. I'm not leaving you. I'll be right back. And you assure them of your presence. And then you remind them that God is with them. That even when you have to go out and take a phone call or whatever, that they're never really alone. God has said over and over again in Scripture, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In fact, the great Psalm 23 that everybody knows, even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid. Why? For you are close beside me. You're with me. It is when God is near, you lose your fear. So you remind him, I'm going to be here with you. You touch him and you remind him that God is always going to be with him at each moment. And you offer your physical presence. I got this letter this week from Jack Berry. He wrote, Rick, my mother, Betsy Berry, is 96 years old. She still has her original hearing, teeth, eyes, and wits about her. One of her roommates is in the nursing home, was a dear soul named Lucille, 4 years younger than Mom. Lucille suffered from a very poor hearing and eyesight, and fortunately for over 20 years, my mother was a proofreader for my stepfather, who published our hometown newspaper and authored 32 books. So Mom's passion for reading has never stopped. So Lanny and I gave Mom a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life to read, which she devoured personally. Then Mom reread it again out loud to Lucille. So next we gave her Kay's book, Dangerous Surrender. Now the timing of these books could have not been better. Lucille's health was slipping badly in her final days, and Mom felt a little lost, unsure of how to comfort her dying friend, Lucille. But by reading Purpose-Driven Life, Mom discovered that God still had a purpose for her, even at age 96. Her purpose was to just be there for others in that nursing home as a listening post and a counselor. And then by reading Dangerous Surrender, Mom discovered the importance and value of just being present with people, not having to say anything, but just being there, just holding Lucille's hand, and sitting there quietly with her, praying for God to comfort Lucille. Even at 96, Mom is still learning that God has a purpose for her life. So now we're giving her a copy of The Purpose of Christmas. Now, Mom may outlive all of us, so I guess you're going to have to keep writing books. Confront my own fears. Offer physical support, physical presence. Then the M in comfort is minister with practical assistance. Minister with practical assistance. You give them your physical presence and you give them practical assistance. What does that mean? It means you do whatever they need done. You run errands for them. You help them in little ways, in practical ways. Now, when somebody's dying, they usually don't feel good. And they're often in pain. David says this in Psalm 38 here on the screen. I'm burning with fever and I'm near death. I'm worn out and utterly crushed. My heart is troubled and I groan with pain. What do you do when somebody's in that situation? You give them comfort. Whatever you can do. You want the lights on? You want the lights off? What can I do? Can I get you some ice chips? Can I rub your back? What you do anything. It's the little things that show love. You offer practical assistance and relieve pain and relieve discomfort. And don't be afraid to ask questions. You just say, well, you know, what do you need? And don't be afraid to suggest things. The Bible says this here on the screen. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And nobody's weaker than somebody who's dying. And be patient with everyone. Now, why does it say be patient with everyone? Because when you're in pain, you're cranky. Have you noticed that? It's hard to be spiritual when you got a toothache. When you're in pain, you don't feel really happy. And when people are dying, they often get cranky. You cut them some slack. The Bible says be patient with everyone. Have you noticed that when people get older, they can get cranky? Well, part of it is they don't feel good a lot of the time. And so what you need to do is the Bible says, be patient with everyone. And you minister practical assistance. Now, why is this important? Because another one of the biggest fears that people have when they're dying is the fear of losing control. People have this fear that they're watching control move further and further. First, I couldn't drive, and now I can't walk, and now I can't get out of bed. And now I can't use the bathroom on my own. And they find control being taken away from them more and more and more. So let me let you in on a little secret, how you can minister to people who are dying. The way you help them is give them choices. Because every time you give them a choice, you give control back to them. So you say, would you like your slippers on or would you like your slippers off? You've empowered them. Would you like the light on or would you like the light off? You've empowered them. Would you like the window open or closed? Would you like for me to change the channel? Would you like to watch this or not? You don't just bring in breakfast, say, it's time for breakfast. You say, would you like your breakfast now or later? Every time you give people a choice, you give them a little bit of power back. Does that make sense? Okay. And it is comforting. And that's what you can do in ministering with practical needs by giving them choices. The F in comfort stands for fortify them with emotional support. Fortify means to build up. Fortify them with emotional support. You give them your physical presence, you give them practical assistance, and you give them emotional support because they're carrying a heavy, heavy burden. People who are dying are carrying all kinds of emotions inside them. And the Bible says this in Galatians 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you fulfill that love your neighbor as yourself part when you carry each other's burdens. Now, how do you do that? How do you carry somebody else's emotional burden? How do you do that? Here's how you do it. You pray for them, and you pray for them aloud, and you pray in front of them aloud, and you pray with them aloud. And when you pray for them, you are giving them emotional support. You say, Rick, I don't know what to pray. All right, I'm going to tell you how to do this. Here's how you pray for somebody who's dying. What you pray is whatever they say, you mirror it back to God in a prayer. When the person is dying says, you know, this really frustrates me. Then you pray, now, Lord, Susie's really frustrated by this. And when the person is dying says, you know what, I wish I had done this, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, Lord, Susie's saying, I wish I'd done that. And she wishes she'd done. And you just pray that. And when the person says, you know, I'm really angry, I'm really irritated, I don't like what's going on. Dear God, Bob is really having a tough time right now. He's upset. He's angry. He's frustrated. What you do is you simply mirror to God what you've heard them say. That's what you pray. You listen to them, and whatever they say, you turn it into prayer to God. What are you doing? You are lifting their burden. Because when somebody is sick, sometimes they're just too sick to pray. They don't even have the energy to pray. And so they just say, you know, something. I'm so miserable. When you turn that into a prayer, this is called interceding. You are interceding for another person. And you're saying, God, you heard what Betty just said. You know, she is happy that all of her kids are alive, but she's sorry that John, her son's not going to be here till next week. And she wants to make sure that she stays alive till John gets here. Lord, this is her prayer. And I'm praying this too. You simply mirror to God what the person told you. That's what you pray for the person who is dying. And, you know, you can ask questions. You can say, well, this wasn't what you expected, was it? Now, I want you to notice a verse. And let's read it aloud. Psalm 116, 15. Read it with me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Did you know that when a believer dies, God says that is precious? Not only is your life precious to God, your death is precious to God. Not only is your life precious to him when you're doing something with it, but when you are an invalid and you can't do anything and you feel helpless and worthless and yet you're making no contribution to the world and all you can do is lay in bed, God says, you're still precious to me. Life is precious to God. From the moment you were conceived inside your mother's womb, it's precious. That's why abortion is wrong. Because the Bible tells us that every day of your life was planned before you took your first breath. God says abortion short circuits God's plan. So before you're born, your life is precious. Your entire life, it's precious to God. And when you're dying, when a person is old or helpless or incapacitated or they've lost their mental acuity, their life is just as precious as it was when they were making $50,000 a year or contributing to society or whatever. Now, what's the implication of that? If the life of that invalid or that person is precious to God, it better be precious to you. We live in a society today that wants to cast away unusable people, whether it's a child who's handicapped or it's a senior citizen who's losing their mental capacity. That person is just as precious when they cannot even get up and go to the bathroom on their own as they were when they were taking care of their own family as a mother or as a father. Get it? Good. They are precious to God, and their death is precious to God. And so God says, it better be precious to you because you're my child, and you want your death to be precious. It matters. So you fortify with emotional support. Now, the next O in comfort is open them up with questions. Open them up with questions. You need to open them up so they can unload. You see, when people are dying, they're carrying an enormous emotional load inside.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. There are only 48 hours left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Thanks. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I love to end our broadcast by reading letters from people like you. Here's one from Melissa, who lives in Colombia. Pastor Rick, I just want to say thanks to you and thanks to God for helping me understand the Bible and for helping bring so many souls to Jesus Christ. I've been blessed because you put your messages online for free. And because of that free ministry, I have access to the truth. I cannot thank you enough. She says, I want to help, and I want to give what God commands to give me to give so that His message can reach the entire world. Thank you, Melissa from Colombia. Well, Melissa, thank you. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your financial gift, and thank you for caring about people who haven't heard the good news. You see, when we work together, we're able to do things we cannot do on our own. Together, we reach people that would never be reached any other way. And when you get to heaven, we're going to celebrate all the souls that have come to know Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening, thank you for supporting, and thank you for praying. And I want to say the same thing to all of the rest of you who are doing that too. God bless you, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.